You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Booth Review.
Welcome into another edition of Booth Review. I'm Ken Swanson. I'm here with my guy, Brandon McAnderson. B-Mac, it is good to see your face. It's good to talk to you. I know, I didn't get to do this show last week. I'm kind of jealous because Chris Harris just showed up on the show, you know, so that was kind of cool. But how you doing today, man?
Man, I'm doing excellent. I am. I'm happy to be a Jayhawk, and I'm happy to be heading into this week against in the Sunflower Showdown to see some more Jayhawk football. Excited to go check out practice tomorrow as well.
Oh man, I wish we could have talked to you before this practice. But it's all right. It's all right. Or after this practice, it's all good. But hey man, I got back from all of my responsibilities on Friday night, real late Saturday morning. Man, that was just a gut wrenching moment for that program, and I feel so bad. You know, for Jason Bean and everybody, because, you know, that was just an uphill battle, and, you know, putting themselves behind 6-10 before Bean gets hurt too. Like, just, that's just a rough way for that game to start. But I think that's the thing that was really just such a bummer off the top for me is, you know, they get behind early, but I mean, think about it. I think they played ahead with Cole Ballard the rest of the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, beyond that, you know, I'm with you on the gut-wrenching nature of the loss, but man, I'm such an optimist that, you know, I end up every time I want to be upset about a detail that didn't go this way or that, I come back to the fact that this team continued to fight, continued to give themselves a chance to win. You know, the field goal that they gave up to get to 13 was off of a turnover in the red zone, in their own back end. And that only resulted in a field goal. So even that field goal was a giveaway. So if you're looking at every element of how the defense played after the first two drives, they were excellent. Their communication was good. They tackled well, they covered, they made some mistakes here and there, but their backs were up against the wall and they did what they had to do to keep their team in the game. I liked the motivation. I liked the energy, you know, right before that big drive where Devin Neal got everything started. I remember seeing Craig Young standing on the field, screaming, pumping his fist, encouraging those guys to get going. You know, this is just a team that is as recently as last year was like, man, we don't have Jalen Daniels, you know, now we don't have Jalen Daniels or Jason Bean, and we're still playing competitive football with a middle of the pack Big 12 team with top end talent. Let's not get that confused. Texas Tech has as many dudes as anybody in the Big 12. Now they've had some injuries at quarterback. They've had some execution issues. They've had some, you know, had to onboard some younger quarterbacks, but that's a talented group player for player. And Kansas was right there with them, a game that they probably should have won with a third string walk-on true freshman quarterback behind the wheel. So I just came out of it so proud, you know, wishing they could have found a way to pull it out, but very proud of the effort and just their how much they cared about being Jayhawks on this day and on every day since the season started.
And we can start with the defense too. Like, I think that's a good place. Like, obviously with Jason Bean's injury, that was rough. And, you know, the defense early on, Taj Brooks was, you know, it wasn't like he was generating a bunch of explosive runs. He was just getting a steady six every down in and out early in the game. They're able to move the ball a little bit. Taj Brooks' longest run was 11 yards the entirety of the game. They didn't give up an explosive run. They didn't give up an explosive pass play or very many explosive pass plays in the entirety of the game. Only one player on the entire Texas Tech roster had an explosive play, Jaren Bradley. I think he had that big catch down the sideline late in the game. But yeah, I just, the defense, like obviously that slow start was rough, but man, you're right. They played their tails off and they played hard and they kept coming up with big play after big play. You know, Texas Tech only scored one touchdown on the game. It was that first drive of the game for them, is they scored a touchdown.
Starting their own territory, even that.
Yeah. Three and out Kansas, 48-yard drive, three and out. I believe another three and out. Mm-hmm. And then Tech goes down and kicks field goal. But, I mean, Kansas was – I mean, Kansas did everything that they could. Offense was giving them a lot of three and outs. You know, even when, you know, they were – you know, they weren't playing complimentary football and not getting the best field position. After that first touchdown, the Kansas defense was playing really, really, really well. And they were on the field a lot. I think 69, 70 plays, something crazy like that. I mean, they were on the field a lot. But they just continued to get off the field. And they just kept rising to the occasion. And great effort. I mean, it was just a great team effort across the board on the defensive side of the ball.
Absolutely. You know, the performances that stuck out to me, excuse me, were Austin Booker. You know, we already know what he is in the pass game. We know that he can be a disruptive force. He can make plays. He can do. Man, this guy is a terror in the run game just as well. You mm-hmm. saw him. They tried to down block him. They didn't have any luck. They tried to pinch and pull, and he spilled it with like violent tendencies. So he allowed mm-hmm. players to get in the backfield and make plays at the linebacker position. Once they got that extra man in the box, I like that Brian Borland, you know, opened the game plan, giving them a lot of respect in terms of numbers. You know, so they would have three guys really wide, and we'd have four in the proximity, and that's a run box. So basically we were encouraging them to run. And like you said, they were running and they were having success, you know, 4 or 5 yards a pop. But once he put the numbers back in the Kansas defensive favor and started to trust the outside DBs, the mm-hmm. game changed immediately. And this yep. is probably the third game we've seen this where Kansas plays to their traditional style, you know, a shell defense, bend but don't break, and they're really not getting the result that they want. And then they switch to a more aggressive defense where their linebackers aren't in drops, and Kenny Logan gets to play in the box and man up on a tight end or a back, and they're just a different team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it gets to the point where you're looking at scheme versus personnel, like what will win out on a given game. Now, it's hard to, you know, I'm not being critical in this moment. They gave up 16 points. You know, it wasn't as if, you know, and plenty of possessions. They gave up 16 points and plenty of possessions for Texas State. It was an excellent defensive performance. But when you watch it, you do wonder, what is the line as he game plans to trust those DBs to allow them to get up inside of people and take away some of those easy throws and force them into unfavorable box numbers and say, if you want to run the ball, you're outnumbered. And if you want to throw the ball, we got 2 6-1 corners. And, you know, we got O.J. Burrows, who's one of the best safeties in the country. Finally, he's in the top 10 for defensive players on Pro Football Focus, which we've talked about our beasts with PFF. But I'm glad that they acknowledged O.J. and what he's doing this season. I want everyone to know this, that O.J. is incredible. And to have him back next year is going to be awesome because that guy is a ball hawk. He does not miss tackles. He is so keyed into his details. He almost had an interception on the second drive of the game. His second throw that he even put in the air anywhere down the field, OJ almost picked that off as well. So I just like our secondary, and I would like to see them get a game plan from moment one that says, our guys are better than your guys, so we're going to load the box. And I think that's where they're going to end up at some point, and I hope it just happens sooner, especially with this matchup coming up Saturday.
Yeah, Brian Borland definitely takes a little bit of a reactionary approach, I think, he really does try to feel some things out early on, I think. It's kind of what you're talking about with just like the adjustments. It's like, hey, let's invite the run and let's see what happens from there. You know, it felt like, I don't feel like the defensive line was doing too much living in gaps early in the game. And it felt like they were doing that a little bit more as the game kind of went on. They were kind of playing a little bit more, maybe a gap and a half, kind of two gap type look. You know, where they're just kind of holding point, letting the backs try to drive, you know, kind of flow. That's kind of what it felt like they were doing a little bit early. They weren't really trying to get as much upfield. Felt like they were a little bit more upfield minded as the game went on. But yeah, just Borland, I'm not going to criticize 60 points too much either, right? Like, well, I don't have a problem. The defensive side of the ball was not why this team lost this game. Yeah, you wonder if maybe they, to your point, like, let's just line up. Let's line up and go play him hat for hat and see what happens. And that might be something you see as early as this week. Let's just be the aggressor off the top. Let's not be information collectors early on in that game. And not to say that that's a bad thing, but, you know, get hot against this offense early. They found early offensive success against this defense because, you know, there's a little bit of info gathering going on a little bit differently than we might see this team, you know, or some other teams across maybe try to dictate with their own talent. So I think it's a real good point. But anybody else on the defensive side of the ball you really wanted to focus on, B-Mac?
I love the defensive tackles. We talked about Caleb Taylor last week, but man, is he good. You know, he can do two things really well. You know, that he can push the pile if you double team him. He can really drive that whole thing back. But he's also athletic enough to get up and disrupt in the passing game. You've seen him get pressures and knock balls down. I just love that in Devin Phillips' absence, it hasn't felt like a huge absence. And Devin Phillips is a great player. Like, he's been a very good player for Kansas. And that just speaks to how good Caleb has played. I thought Jeremy Robinson and Booker on the defensive end spots really disrupted their run game and really gave linebackers and safeties more time to get up and make plays. I thought that was impressive because we talk about, you know, different position groups, like the receiver group will have a game where all they do is block, and then they'll have a game where all they do is catch. That goes for the defensive end group as well. There's games where they dominate with pressure, and there's games where they dominate just getting in and being disruptive in the run game. I like the way that those guys played. I thought Rich Miller has looked really healthy the last 2 weeks. I thought he played well again. So I'm excited to see these guys continue to get opportunities. I like that they were able to get some stuff on Kobe. You know, the two penalties that he got, the inside slants. I think that's, you know, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Let's invite people to throw the ball his way a little bit more. Let's have him dial into his techniques a little bit better, you know, and become a better player, because there's still always a level he can get to. But I like that he was challenged outside. And I just want to see these guys bounce back, because they have, you know, when they haven't given on these little, like you said, it was a great performance collectively. But I think when there's details that get away from you, you remember those. And those guys want to get some of those plays back this coming week.
Sounds like Lance Leipold had this group back in the building the day after trying to get ready to go. I was just thinking about that. Like, hey, working on these little details. I'm just, you know, they were right back at it. They didn't let them think too much about it the next day. Hey, if you're checking, you know, if you're watching this, you obviously know I'm rocking some home field apparel right now. Make sure you are checking all them out for all their great KU gear. They got all kinds of different colleges as well. If you're listening from the K-State side, wanting to check this show out as well, they've got those as well. But No Seats 23 is the promo code that gets you 15% off home field apparel. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back right after.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time.
Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's talk about this offense, B-Mac. And I'll just tell you this. If you wanted to understand, if you wanted to get a glimpse of what the culture of this football team looks like now, if you wanted to get a glimpse of life after some of the names that you know now, I think just watching this team gut this thing out, you know, come back with the kind of fight they did with a freshman quarterback, like that was such a culture moment, watching this team fight despite some adversity and watching this offense kind of start putting some things together late in that game. It's just a reminder of just the names are going to change a lot over the next, you know, however long Lance Leipold and company and this group specifically are together. But I mean, this was a moment for me where it's like, you can kind of see like good things are going to happen. They're going to find ways to win. They're going to find ways to, you know, generate offense and figure things out. They're going to find a way to kind of put things together. And you saw obviously some struggles early offensively, but they kind of got some things going late in the game and were able to, you know, they're generating some offense. The one thing you're going to point to, I think, off the top though, the red zone. The red zone was obviously a big challenge for this offense. And it kind of makes sense when you've got a red shirt or a walk-on freshman quarterback, everything tightens up there, gets a little trickier.
Yeah, so in preparation for this show, I've tried my best to not turn into Jelly Roll at the Country Music Awards, where I'm really just out here preaching. But man, I'm out here preaching. Guys, I know that as a fan base, we look at these outcomes and we think about them as being, man, we really missed an opportunity. Man, we really missed an opportunity. And I know why you feel that way. With the Jalen Daniels injury last year against TCU, felt like opportunity was lost. But what I'm telling you is that there will be more opportunities. There will be a lot more opportunities for this team to climb that hill and get over the hump. Maybe not these players, but definitely this program. I implore you to look at the depth on the roster right now, and some of the guys we have the luxury of redshirting are very good players. I implore you to stay with this group, because this is just the beginning. This is not the ending of anything. And let me give you a couple examples. TCU was down to their third-string quarterback early in the year. They had a four-star player, a very decorated recruit. He was a true freshman. He came in, and he threw the ball to the other team immediately, and he really struggled. They couldn't move the ball at all. Texas Tech reached the same fate when Baron Morton was injured in the game. They had to go to Jake Strong. Jake Strong is a top 300, four-star, every accolade in the state of Texas in high school football he had, and he really struggled, especially against K-State. I mean, he threw four or five interceptions in that game alone. And then you look at Cole Ballard, who was steady Eddie, who executed, who made plays when he needed to. He was tough. He was dialed into the game plan. He had some know-how that you're not used to seeing from a true freshman quarterback. And to put that into perspective, Kansas has two true freshmen on their depth chart at all. All right, Keaton Kubeka being one of them, and then the left tackle from Kansas, Calvin Clements being the other. Calvin hasn't played at all. Kubeka probably played about six or seven plays to open the season. He was in a couple packages. So this is the first true freshman to play all year at all, and not only is he the first true freshman to play, he's running the show. So I thought that his performance was impressive. Texas Tech did what you should do to a walk-on true freshman quarterback. They blitzed the heck out of him. He handled it all very well. I was incredibly impressed with his poise. I was incredibly impressed with the other players' belief in him. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the most unique thing. You know, like there is a certain type of body language that you have when you go to your backup. And you can tell by the body language of the surrounding players whether or not it's an issue. And it was not an issue. You saw that there was a lot of confidence in him from the group. You saw they were picking him up and motivating him. And then you saw him just flat out make plays. You know, the throw to Luke Grimm that resulted in the pass interference was a great throw. The backing, throwing off his back foot to Mason Fairchild for a first down on 3rd and 12 against pressure. All-out blitz, game on the line, sees Mason Fairchild has a step, puts the ball up in the air, hoping that maybe he gets a chance to get it, forces a penalty. He was just very smart. Pulled it on the option, read it, got 12 yards, got him into a goal-to-go situation. I thought his performance was incredible, and I come away from that game pretty optimistic about his future if he is the starter this Saturday. You know, he showed some option chops, and that's been the one thing that Kansas has not been able to do this season is get to that triple option stuff, primarily because they have quarterback injuries every week. So that I'm interested to check out. But I was very impressed with Cole Ballard. I was very impressed with the veteran receiving core and Lawrence Arnold and Quentin Skinner made big plays down the stretch. You know, Devin Neal is just a playmaking machine. They got their run game going. I thought the offensive line did not play well to open the game. I thought they really struggled in the first half to move those bigger athletic Texas Tech interior linemen. And they kind of had their way, but they bounced back. They found a way to compete. I thought that 98-yard drive that resulted in a, you know, tackle for loss on the goal line, that was impressive, man. That was with they didn't have a halftime. They didn't have a chance to discuss really anything with Cole. And they were able to figure out a way to get the ball down the field. And, you know, they went for the touchdown because I think in their eyes they were thinking we might not get down here again. Well, they got down there three more times. So I think that speaks to their belief in Cole and his ability to execute and just see the field and make plays.
I have a lot of things about Cole Ballard that I want to talk about. And like, I think one of the things you see, I don't think there was any restrictions on the playbook when he jumped in.
No.
And that's impressive in and of itself. They're trying some of the fake look to the sideline stuff. They're executing some of the stuff, like some of the little intricacies of this offense where they're doing the fake look, quick snap to try to get people, you know, caught off guard looking back to the sideline. They're, you know, trying to execute sugar huddle stuff. I will complain about the sugar huddle real quick. I can't stand it. I don't get too critical of this team very often. But I have just seen that sugar huddle so many times over the last three seasons, and I rarely remember it actually working. The rushing to the line of scrimmage, trying to get snapped, I don't think it's done much for them as far as generating offense. And I don't think it's done much for them. It's all they get, given them an advantage at the line of scrimmage in some of these short yardage situations that they're trying to get to. I don't think it's, you know, I just haven't seen it work. And it feels like, you know, Texas Tech was ready for it. And Texas Tech did make it. They blitzed. They rushed that guy just split a gap and ran through. That's just something like I struggle with. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. But that's my little one of my few complaints about the offense, because
you hear that, guys? Kent Swanson hates sugar.
I hate it. But just, you know, I don't know, man. That's something I struggle with. But They did whatever they wanted to do with Cole Ballard. Like, there was nothing off the table, I don't really think. I mean, even some of the option stuff, they were still running it. And, well, that I'll get to that in a second. So I thought his command of an understanding of the offense was great. How hard he ran was so fun to watch. And how hard he played was so fun to watch. And if you want to talk about guys wanting to rally around somebody, that's why. And you saw that run down in the red where someone's earpiece popped out. Someone, I don't know if it was Cole's, I don't know if it was the guy he hits, but there's just a white earpiece or something falling out of a helmet. And just watching him run with the kind of aggression that he has, that's why people are going to rally around him. I think, you know, there was a level of fearlessness to him. The moment wasn't too big for him. The offense wasn't too big for him. The situation wasn't too big for him. He was there were rookie mistakes, there were freshman mistakes for sure. Like, he's, you know, but it was some of his freshman mistakes where I'm going to just hang on the ball a little bit too long. I'm going to get rocked. I'm going to get this ball off, but I'm going to get rocked. You know, his toughness still shown. Even in some of the moments where maybe you would like to see him processing and seeing some things a little bit quicker, right? But I came away very impressed with him. I get why they want to try to redshirt him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you saw the play action throw to Torrey Loughlin. That was a 22-yard gain. That was a play he went up to the line of scrimmage and changed the play. You could hear him say, kill, kill. So like you mentioned, there was clearly a trust from the coaching staff to him that there was not going to be a huge difference in terms of the play calling. The interesting thing about Cole Ballard is during the first 2 weeks of camp, he lit camp on fire. I mean, he was the guy that really stood out. when you talk to the coaching staff and some of the players and some of the support staff, his name came up a lot. Now, he cooled off because he's a true freshman and quarterback's a hard position, but that kind of gives you an idea of what his expectations were when he came here. He did not come here to sit on the bench. And you could see when he got the opportunity, he was ready to take advantage. And he's a big guy. You know, I know it's, you know, he's a young quarterback. He's not a small guy. I mean, he's a 6'2", you know, 215 type body type, a good straight line runner. You know, he doesn't have the kind of pizzazz and zip on the football that those other guys have, but he also doesn't have any issue getting it there.
No.
I thought he threw it with a good level of touch. He threw it from different platforms, you know, backing up or, you know, or rolling to one side or the other. He just made good choices, you know, and he did, like you said, he threw that quick out to open the drive. It looked like the game was over, you know, and the guy dropped the pick six. And that was a big mistake. But other than that, you know, even the throw to Jared Casey, the guy made a really good play. He could have put it a little bit further out, but there wasn't a lot of like glaring mistakes other than, like you mentioned, you know, holding the ball. One of those sacks was like a boot rail, you know, throwback kind of thing. So, you know, you'd want to stick with that. He maybe missed some checkdowns, you know, on some crossers. But I mean, there was just not a lot of issues in terms of his understanding of what he was looking at. And I think that bodes well in that Texas Tech blitzed every play. I mean, they were run blitz. They run blitz from the moment the game started. I think that is something that Kansas is going to see a lot of this week, too. Teams are going to try to disrupt their running game with blitz, and the answer to that is option. So I do think that there were some positives in terms of Cole Ballard showing that he can be an option threat. And I think option is always a good counter to run blitzing, especially run blitzing from the edge, which is what Texas Tech did a lot. They slanted their line and they brought edge. And what they ended up doing was just occupying all the gaps and making it hard to run zone. I liked when they went to that two-back set when they were backed up and had Devin Neal lead block and ran some counter. That was a good look. So they have, I mean, you know, you think about Kolonicki and this staff, they've got an answer for pretty much everything. It's just a matter of what's that starting game plan, what fits the quarterback well, and how can they execute it? But this team is not looking at Cole Ballard like their season's over. And that's what I would say with absolute certainty.
This K-State game here before we get out of here. But I want to say something. Can you believe we're this deep into the NFL season, B-Mac? It's crazy. Yeah. We got to make every second count with DraftKings Sportsbook. You can make the most out of every game day. Bet on your favorite teams for a shot at winning big bucks. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on any matchup. Get in the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the app now and use code KCSN. New customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on the NFL only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. For details and state-specific responsible gaming resources, eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. So yeah, you for showdown if you are so inclined. Go throw some money down on the Hawks if you want. I think there's some good odds for them because they are underdogs for this game. Let's talk about this Kansas State game. Obviously, you know, this team started to find their footing a little bit offensively in the second half of that game. You talk about the option game. I think that's a great to start, you know, and that's something you were kind of talking about right before we went off and talked to, you know, went to break. But, you know, I think the option game was looking really, really strong with the football, you know, running the ball, utilizing his legs. He's plenty athletic enough to be able to execute some of this stuff. And I mean, ultimately, you know, getting an explosive off the option play was something that, you know, worked really well for Kansas late. And I'm with you. I wouldn't be stunned if you saw them kind of employ that a lot in this game here.
Absolutely. I think that's the way they have to play. They've got to get those numbers back in their favor when they can. And a good way to do that is option. And to give you background on what I mentioned before was, you know, being as an option quarterback, that's not his thing. You look at his speed and you would think that it was, but he struggles with angles. He struggles with correct option angles. Sometimes he's on it, you know, like against Texas, he had a couple good runs. He was on the angle, but he misses it most of the time. There was a run early. There was a speed option early in the game that might have been six if he was a little bit more on track. It ended up being a 9-yard gain, but you can see his tendency is to just widen. And the funny thing about that is that that's what the defense wants you to do. They want to widen so you can give them more time to run over the top. I saw Cole seem to have better angles in terms of pulling and running straight lines. So I expect them to be improved in that area. The other part of that is they've got a bunch of different ways to get people involved in option. So to me, when you're playing Cole Ballard and Cole Ballard's going to be in the game plan, you know who else is going to be in the game plan? Tory Loughlin. And that's always the thing. His versatility as a blocker and escaping out of the backfield, I think those two things go hand in hand. Like I said, I am a ridiculous optimist. So if you're telling me Cole Ballard's going to play a lot and going to start the game and the game plan is going to be built for him, Tory Loughlin is going to be in that game plan. And I think that's a good thing for Kansas, just with his ability to run routes, block, and really do whatever you need him to do. The second part of that, too, is that I think you'll see more movement to get to option, which I thought is what made them unique last year, was the many ways that they could get into option looks. Jerry Casey plays heavily into that. Tory Loughlin plays heavily into that. Some of that motion and shifting plays it just really opens it up and makes it really hard to defend Kansas. And on top of that, you've seen Kansas really create a whole new run game this year, where they've been outside zone, they've been the pools. The man blocking schemes, they're just really versatile when they get all the way into their run game bag. Now, I'm hoping that with Cole Ballard's ability to run the football, that you start to see some of those difficult looks that are really hard to defend.
So a lot of thoughts. Yeah, I think you're going to see this. This feels like I am excited about Cole Ballard and his outlook and his future. I think he did some really good things. I think Kansas can win this game with him. That being said, you still want to try to make it easy on a freshman quarterback that's not had a ton of experience in the Big 12 in the kind of magnitude of a game it was. And I think you saw KU do some things in the second half to try to help take a little bit of the pressure off of him. Some more of the Wildcat. I mean, they tried to throw the ball in the red zone with Devin Neal, over putting it in the hands of the freshman quarterback. And like after some of the lack of success early in the red zone with him, they try to make a few adjustments. That's not knocking, just a tough, that's a, look, quarterbacks make their money on third down and in the red zone. Those are the two hardest things to do as a quarterback. And it's a tall task to try to throw too much on Cole Ballard. So I'm not knocking the kid. But I do think this game, and not that they're just going to go out and run Wildcat the entire time or anything like that, but this is one of those games where a lot of the stuff that you've set up over the course of the season, you pay off, I think. And, you know, because of the situation you have at your quarterback position, I think it's good to take a little bit of pressure off him. You talk about Tory Loughlin. Tory Loughlin, there's a lot of little things that, I mean, we talk about as a blocker, as a runner, as a receiver. You know, he played a little bit of quarterback too. You might have a few Tory Loughlin wrinkles in there. Maybe he's throwing the ball once or twice. Maybe he's taking a few more snaps and they're running a little bit more read stuff. I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. I just know that this is a game where nothing's off the table. And you come up with a few ideas here or there to just try to take a little bit of pressure off your young quarterback, give K-State a variety of looks. I think they can do some good things. That requires staying ahead of the sticks, though. I mean, your base principles have to be on point. You have to execute the little things, and you got to put yourself in some favorable downs where you can try a few things here or there and try to catch them off guard with a few things. So your core principles have to still be what they are, and they still have to kind of, you know, help set the tone and dictate the game. But, you know, Kansas will have, I think, some wrinkles ready for Kansas State to give them.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up the red zone stuff. I, you know, seen the fan base with frustration and rightfully so. But, you know, especially with the red zone play calling, and there's just not a lot of space down there. So when you got a guy that hasn't played a ton and now he's in live action inside in the tight red and some of those goal to go situations, it's hard. That's just like not a lot of space, you know, and it's, you know, it's hard to anticipate in that space. You know, if you're not getting man, You know, you really can't say, oh, well, my guy's going to be over here and that's where I'm going to throw the football. And Texas Tech was playing a lot of zone like they should against a young quarterback, especially down there. So really the only option, you know, would have been a jump ball to one of the physically advantaged guys. And they didn't choose to do that. They want to keep the ball out of harm's way. And they were right. they'd helped them stay in the game. It helped them tie the game up late. So, I mean, they, you know, if you look at those coaching decisions and you're critical, they were right. They were able to salvage it with defensive stops and get the tie game that they wanted. So I do think that that's just hard for everybody. And, you know, and what he was able to do on third down was a much bigger deal, you know, keeping them at their average pretty much, you know, near 50% on the day. I thought that was a much bigger deal than what he did in the red zone. But I feel like those are the kind of things that he'll grow towards. And
oh, sure.
In response, they'll in that tight red, that 30 to 40 in, they'll just be more aggressive there, which is what they'll have to do. They'll have to be more aggressive on pushing the ball down the field when they do cross midfield to avoid some of those tight red zones. Mm-hmm. And so they'll improve that. Like I said, everything you've thought of, they've thought of. So there's just nothing you've thought of that these guys aren't preparing for. So I'm excited to see what kind of wrinkles they have. And make no mistake, this team is going to try to win this football game. They're going to pour everything into the opportunity to win this football game. It's important to these players, this staff, and especially these seniors going out, not having beat this team. That means something here. And I expect them to pour everything into this opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's a death sentence that this team doesn't have Jason Dean for this game. And obviously you'd like to have him, you know, but I do think that there is, I think there's a path to success, a path to success offensively for this team, you know, to go out and win this game. It's not gonna be easy. And you're gonna have to try to limit the mistakes as much as you can. You have to run the football successfully, I think. And you're gonna have to try to play complementary football with you know, with your defense, with your run game, and just try to help support your young quarterback. But like I don't think this is a doom and gloom scenario where this team can't go out and win this football game. It's just going to take a big effort, and it's going to take a collective effort. But to your point, like, this is a group that's always been about the collective effort, and they started figuring some things out, I thought, late in the game. You know, obviously they score 13 points in the second or in the fourth quarter, almost come back, and when they tie that football game, and you know, we know what happened at the end. But I mean, I think this, you know, I think there's still plenty on the table, and there's still plenty for this group offensively to do some good things and do enough to help them win the football game. I think the defense, you know, BMAC, you spent so much time talking this year about Kansas defense at home. And that's shown itself, I think, the entirety of the season. You know, another really strong performance for them this week. They've played well at home. Like, that's something to take into consideration when you're looking at this Kansas State KU game, is how good the KU defense has been at home. They're going to have to put another strong performance together against an offense that is playing extremely well right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's interesting about some of their home performances is there's been games where the defense has had to play well when the offense hasn't. Iowa State comes to mind, you know, to where we weren't able to move the football at all after the opening two drives. And that Kansas defense got stop after stop. They were stingy in the red zone, and they were able to stay in the game. Now, the difference in the last 2 weeks has been Kansas is giving up 98% touchdowns in the red zone. It's the worst in the country. But if you look at the last 2 weeks, Iowa State with Craig Young, they saved that touchdown over that pass over the middle. That ended up being the difference in the game and allowed Kansas to extend their lead. And then this week, or last week against Texas Tech, they were able to get multiple stops in the red zone, resulting in two field goals. That was a difference in the game. So it cannot be a game where Kansas State is 4-for-4 with four touchdowns. That cannot be the winning recipe for this Kansas defense. They have got to stifle Kansas State in the red zone and make them kick field goals if they have a chance to win this game. And if they do that, I think they will.
Anything else on defense you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, not that I can think of. I'm just excited to see the ways in which Kansas matches up with Kansas State. I think the Phillip Brooks Craig Young thing is going to be interesting to follow. You know, do they want to put Craig on Sennett, or do they want to use Kalen Gervin on Brooks? You know, how will they handle that nickel sub? You've seen them kind of go back and forth between the two of those guys. I'll be interested to see how they deploy Craig this week. But I thought they had a good game plan for K-State last year down in Manhattan defensively, and they were able to, if they would have been able to get that stop on the long screen to Deuce Vaughn, that could have been a different game as well. So I think they did some nice things last year. I'm interested to see in what ways they kind of carry over into this season.
I think, you know, for me, it's starting fast, both sides of the ball. I think it's winning the turnover battle. And I think it's winning the special teams battle. I think those are three key factors for Kansas in this game. You know, if you follow some of the K-State guys that we have on KC Sports Network, they've spent a lot of time talking and bemoaning the special teams for Kansas State. That could be a factor here because Kansas' special teams have been good. Sean Snyder effect, baby.
Yes, sir.
You know? But yeah, I think, you know, I don't even know if it's not, I don't know if it's starting fast as much as it's just not starting slow. Not starting slow. Just, you know, it doesn't even have to be a fast start. Just, you can't start slow. You can't put yourself too far behind early. You can't play from behind. You need to, you know, play, you know, in a neutral kind of game script with a young quarterback, I think. You need to run the ball effectively. Got to let your turner. And then special teams. So those are the things that I think are really important to me if Kansas is going to pull this off. And it would be a pretty special moment if they're able to pull this one off. You know, and like this, like I'm just, there is absolutely nothing that you can take away from this program and where they're at, and what they've done, and how far they've come in such a short amount of time. There's absolutely nothing you can take away from them. And there's been so many signature moments in this season that give you the reason for optimism for this program. And I don't know if Kansas is going to be able, there's a lot of adversity that they're going to have to deal with to win this football game. I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do it, but K-State better be looking over their shoulder because, you know, their dominance in this series is not going to be lasting much longer because Kansas football is playing at remarkable, they're just, what they've done in such a short amount of time is so impressive. And I can't get over it. And I genuinely believe this team is on to great things. And when the college football playoff expands to 12, Kansas is going to be in that conversation, you know, several years in the future, as long as Lance Leipold and company are in town. But yeah, I think they can. I think they can do this. I genuinely do. I don't know if I'm picking them to, but I believe that it is in the realm of possibility that they're able to pull it off. Are you predicting a win, BMAC? What are you doing here?
I'm absolutely predicting a win. And I'll take you back to my first start as a football player was in 2004. It was after the last time that Kansas State had won the Big 12, 2003, with L. Roberson and Darren Sproles. They went down and smacked Oklahoma down in Arrowhead, ended up winning the Big 12 in 2003. 2004, they came to Kansas for a night game. It was my first start. We ended up winning that game 28-24. Big run from John Randall to finish the game. A slant for a touchdown, Jason Swanson to Mark Simmons. That kind of gave us the lead that we needed. I'm expecting that kind of performance, especially since it's on senior night. You know, senior night is going to mean something to these guys, especially when you have it against your rival. So I am picking them to win. I do expect them to win this football game.
I hope you're right, man. I genuinely do. That'd be such a special moment for this program. Another one. And that, please, I hope it's emphasized. It's just another one. Absolutely. Because there's so many, it's so much fun to watch this football team right now. And it's so much fun to have 7 wins on the ledger already, 2 games to go, and having a bunch of what ifs on the losses. You know? Like, come on. Like, there's a, you know, it's pretty special what's happening right now. This team has only, I'm doing the math, I think they've only lost one game where the quarterback they started the game with ended the game. Or the quarterback they expected to start the game, I guess, ended with the game. Right. Jalen was a scratch shortly after, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, their 2 losses have been a lot of quarterback adversity, either right before the game or during the game. So, yeah. It's been special, man. And this would be just another escalation to the belief, I think, of this fan base. Because if you can do this with the kind of adversity that they've had to deal with as a program and still have 7 wins and then get to 8, man.
Come on.
Be pretty special. I'd be excited to watch this game. BMAC, I'm sure you're going to have a great time on the sidelines for this one. I'm insanely jealous of you, buddy. That is going to do it for Booth Review.
Yeah.
For BMAC, I'm Ken Swanson. We'll catch you later.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.